Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Anyone here like to wait? Anybody? I have to remind myself often that patience is a fruit of the Spirit, especially when I'm driving. But you know, we spend so much time waiting for answers, waiting for healing, waiting for our spouse, waiting to have children. Waiting on direction, because if you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, you do not want to move until you hear and know that it's His voice. And we're waiting on restoration. We're always waiting. I want to preach a message today titled, While You Are Waiting. When God says wait, we think He says no. And that is not what the Bible says. It's not wasted. It's not passive. We are not defeated. In waiting, we're just being patient to hear what God is saying that we need to do. Wait in Hebrew is kava. It means to wait with active expectation. When we reframe wait from defeat to active expectation, it changes how our mind thinks and how our heart feels. Would you not agree? Waiting is like a rope being woven. Threads by themselves, they're kind of weak, right? They have all this movement, but when they're woven together, they're strong. Weak, strong. Waiting, kava, means we are being woven together with God's plan. It's under tension. It's under pressure. But it is creating something that cannot break. Let me encourage you today that God's delay is not His denial. Waiting almost feels like a delay, though, right? Lord, when are you going to hear me and answer me? But in Scripture, waiting is development. Let me prove it to you. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, development. They shall mount up on wings like eagles, development. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Say development. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Like, okay, in the wait, God is developing me. Notice we don't lose strength. Right there it says we renew it. We renew our strength in the wait. The tension you are feeling is not torture. The tension you're feeling is not torture. It's something that is unbreakable. The whole premise of this whole sermon series was Ecclesiastes 3:1. For everything there is a season. A time for every activity under heaven. So yes, there's a time to wait. It's part of the process. And in today's busy culture, we do everything fast. I drive fast. We have microwaves and air fryers that speed up the cooking time. We have POV lanes so that we're not stuck in traffic. Hallelujah. We have online banking instead of checkbook registers. What is a checkbook register even? Sorry, Noah. We have telehealth services. We don't want to take the time to drive in the car to go to the doctor. We'll just get it on the phone. And of course, we have Amazon Prime. Come on, somebody. But the truth is, waiting is universal. We will always be waiting on something. You will always, always be waiting on something. How many of you guys are waiting on something right now? Be honest. Both hands. That's right. Waiting is biblical. We absolutely have discounted the power in the wait. And in the waiting season, we are able to learn so much. Today, I want to share three practical points that will help you in your waiting season. Number one, the way you wait matters. See, the Israelites got stuck in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't wait well. They were grumbling and complaining, and they kept going backwards. They weren't ready for the promise. Psalms 27:14 says, "Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous." Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. I believe God wants us to wait patiently. I believe that God wants us to trust Him and His timing. Waiting patiently with active expectation. What does that look like? It means we're not grumbling and complaining. It means that, God, I'm partnered with you, and I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to rest until you answer with what you've promised. None of us can avoid waiting, but the way you wait matters. There's a difference between passive waiting and purposeful waiting. Like Pastor Rich said last week, David was anointed king as a teenager, but he had to wait 15 years before he ever became the king. He waited while serving Saul. Have you ever heard the quote? While you're waiting, you might as well do what waiters do. Serve. He waited while he was being hunted by the lions and the bears and Goliath, oh my. And he waited while being misunderstood. And you know, the crazy thing is, David could have rushed God's promise by killing Saul when he had the opportunity. But 1 Samuel 24, beginning at verse 4, says, "Now's your opportunity," David's men whispered to him. "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do as you wish." So David crept forward and cut a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." David waited with integrity, not entitlement. He did the right thing at all cost. Now listen, he could have said, "Well, I've been anointed the king. He could have thought, well, I'm entitled to take my rightful place. But he trusted God's timing. Waiting is worth it. Are you waiting with faith or frustration? Ask yourself, who am I becoming while I am waiting for what I want and what God's promised? Who are you? Church, there is purpose in the waiting season, and the way you wait matters. Number two, waiting develops your character. Romans 5, beginning in verse 3, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. God has to prepare us before he can fulfill the promise. Because God will never take you where your character can't keep you. Remember the story of Joseph? Joseph waited in the pit, in prison, and in slavery. He waited for over 13 years between the dream and the fulfillment. And Joseph didn't just wait while he was there in any of those three situations. He too served. He led and he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. The Bible kept repeating this phrase, but the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord is with you in your waiting season also. You can take that to the bank. He's with you. Joseph didn't let waiting make him bitter when he was in jail, when he was in the pit. No, he let his waiting make him better. The wait wasn't wasted, it was required. Too many times we want to speed up the process because we want what we want when we want it. Burger King, have it your way. Well, with Jesus, it's not like that. The wait is required. When I was growing up, my grandmother lived across the sidewalk. Her house was in front of ours, and I loved spending time with her, and I would walk over, and in the mornings after she had read her Bible, she always had a Corrie ten Boom book that she was reading and getting wisdom from. And because she would share stuff with us, I fell in love with her too. But Corrie ten Boom, she was imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp, and she was waiting for freedom that she didn't know she would ever see. Later she said, and I quote, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Her waiting didn't end her calling, it clarified it, right? Waiting seasons expose what's in us. When we're waiting, if we're bitter, it's gonna come out. When we're waiting, if we're impatient, it's going to come out. Waiting seasons expose what's inside us. Are you letting delay develop humility, peace, patience in you? Are you bitter in the process? God truly is more interested in who you are becoming while you're waiting than anything else. Number three, waiting well means trusting God's timing, not forcing your own. Habakkuk 2:3 says, the vision is for the future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. God's delay is not God's denial. Abraham waited 25 years to have his son Isaac. God promised, Abraham believed, but in that process, he took matters into his own hands, and his impatience produced Ishmael. The way you wait matters. When we take matters in our own hands, try to speed up God's plan, it always, always, always complicates the story. Have you ever done that? Where you knew what God said, so you just go running with it, but it wasn't his timing. God is always on time. He's never late, and he's rarely early. He is always on time. Genesis 15:6 says, "And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." Do you want your faith in God's timing to say that about you? I do. I want to wait patiently so that I can hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." When we wait, instead of trying to make something happen, guess what happens? God gets the glory. But when we try to make it happen, we look like the hero. We're not. It's God. So we might as well wait so that he gets the glory, right? I want to tell you a story today of Carly and Chance. They were in a waiting season for their miracle baby that they are expecting right now. Their waiting story was Kava, waiting under tension for their miracle baby. They were being woven into something with strength. Carly said, "We tried for 3 years exactly. We started trying on 10/21/22 and conceived on 10/23/25. We had one miscarriage in December of 2022, and that was the only time we got a positive pregnancy test until this time. We did a ton of failed rounds of letrozole and trigger shots in 2022. We didn't feel happy with the doctor's decision, so we left that clinic and went to another one. Here, we would be prepped for rounds of IUI, taking daily pills and injections and having timed intercourse. But then when it came time to check to see when I could be inseminated, I would never have a follicle that was big enough. So it was just more failed rounds. Our doctor told us in February of 2025 to take a break. My body needed to make some adjustments, and it honestly felt like an answered prayer because I was drowning in anxiety and depression each month when it came time for another visit. We took off until October of 2025. I did not want to go back, but my sister, my older sister, Hannah, pushed me to. She also dealt with infertility, so she was like my biggest rally when it came time to want to give up. I didn't have much faith going into another round of this, but I prayed and prayed and prayed. We surprisingly had a follicle that was not the biggest, but it was big enough. They like it to be about 20%, and it was only 14.7. And in my head, I was like, "You just have to have faith the size of a mustard seed, Carly. God can do a lot with a little." When we got our positive test, even the doctors were in shock for us because I think she knew deep down that it should have been another failed round. So glory to God. And in my Facebook post, I said I would do it a million times over because it brought me so much closer to God. Before this, I was just living life with him on the back burner, it felt like. I would tag him in when I needed him. I can't believe I ever lived that way. I started coming to church when my journey first started because I was losing faith, and I knew I had to believe in something to keep me going. I wanted to give up each negative test, which was 36 times, and that isn't counting how many times I tested to be sure, so in reality, probably like 200. My prayer on my darkest days was always, if I'm not meant to be a mother, Lord, please take away the desire to be one. And I never lost the desire. So I knew it was going to happen just on his terms. We had to fully put our faith in him, and that's when I truly saw his love for me. What the enemy meant for evil, he truly turned for good. I should have been in a huge, dark, depressed hole, but he guarded my heart and my emotions, and I feel like I could legit feel him holding my hand throughout the whole process. Random people would send me cards in the mail saying they were praying for us. Random people would text me say they were praying. I mean, just so many details he was in. And looking back now, I wasn't ready 3 years ago. Our marriage wasn't ready. Our hearts weren't ready. But we're ready now. I just didn't see it back then. Faith is truly believing in what you can't see. And we didn't see this in 2022. But looking back, it all makes sense. Isaiah 30:18 was huge for me. But God's not finished. He's waiting around to be gracious to you. He's gathering strength to show mercy to you. God takes the time to do everything right. Everything. Those who wait around for him are the lucky ones. And I want to share what Chance sent me as well, because this just shows how good God is in the wait and how he grows you. Chance said, I do know that through our waiting season that my relationship with Carly and God became so much stronger. I watched Carly go through so many different things, rounds of medicines and shots that affected her body so much. So many emotions up and down that I know took a toll on her mentally. She was so strong and persistent in all she did to create our new family. Watching her go through this showed me what a truly powerful woman she is, and she's my superhero. This has shown me a side of her that made me love her 1,000 times more because of her pure love and dedication of wanting and waiting in a time that was so hard. We stayed strong together, and we received the biggest blessing that God could give us with my relationship with God and this new baby. Church, the waiting is worth it. It's so worth it. Can we just take a couple of minutes and give God praise for teaching them how to wait well? God is good, and he's always on time, because now you're ready. And I'm so thankful that both of your relationship with the Lord grew in that season. It's hard, but so worth it. Their story is a beautiful reminder that we've got to trust God, because he sees things that we don't see. He knows what he's doing. So if you're waiting today, listen. God sees you, and he collects every tear. He is working, and he's not wasting this season. You can trust him. You can trust him, Jared. You can trust him. Whatever you're going through, he will be faithful. You are being woven like the rope into something that will last. That's what waiting does. When we don't take it in our own hands and have something weak, we end up with something strong. Psalms 37, 7 says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. The wait is worth it. One thing that I can assure you of this morning is while you're waiting, he's working, and he's going to work it all for your good. So if everybody would stand as they dim the lights. I saw so many hands go up that you're in a waiting season. You may not know what your future holds, but I know the one that holds it. And you know the one that holds it. I feel today like it's a day where we have to just take our hands off, take our minds off, because it can cripple you thinking over and over again, asking the questions, when will it happen? And I'm going to open up the altars. I'm going to ask the prayer team to join me. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there. And we want to agree with you on whatever you're waiting for. We want to pray and prophesy over you. Because at the end of the day, it's easy to take it in our own hands. But God's timing is so perfect. Would you come and let us partner with you today?
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.